Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. And we are not in the Abroad in Japan studio today, as you might be able to see if you're watching this on YouTube. Out with Pete Donaldson, in with American Pete, Mr. Macy, Premier 2 himself.
How are you doing, Pete? Hey, thank you very much. Welcome to... Are we still in Japan? Where I live very far away. You had to bring your passport just to get here. It's very frustrating.
Pete. Poor old Pete, living in West Tokyo. It's not that bad out here in West Tokyo. It's a nice...
Simple life.
It's nice. I like it.
Got a little garden. We're in a soundproof enclosure.
Indeed. And we are filmed on my very old camera. It's so nice. Whenever I come into Premiere 2, I get to see my old friend, the GH5 that Pete does his streams on.
Yeah.
And this is the camera I basically built Abroad in Japan with. And now you've built Premiere 2.
I've got that one, and I've got one up there.
Yeah. Did you buy that yourself? Did I give you that one as well?
Yes.
I just give Pete all the equipment. That means I'm entitled to 20% of the profits of Premiere 2.
What about 20% of the incurring debts that I acquire?
You can keep that, Pete.
Okay.
But this is a podcast I wanted to do during the cycle. So on the cycle.
Oh, right.
And I wanted to do like a catch up with Pete and talk about the cycle. Mm. But then every day we were sort of dead by the end of the day. So we didn't do that. And then.
To be fair, though, you always have prided yourself on trying to get some of like, you don't rush something just because it needs to be done. Notably, the last cyclothon video, which took about a year to come out. But, you know, I feel like us doing it then, when you were absolutely shattered from cycling all day, I was not feeling well at the time. Like, I had, like, this kind of sore throat thing.
You did.
And I think, like, trying to be on camera and excited to talk was a task too large for us, even with our powers combined.
I must say, though, I'm glad... And we're going to talk about the cyclothon a little bit and just catch up with Pete in general today. Mm. But I must say, I'm kind of glad that Connor... I watched a video of Connor talking about the cyclothon the other day, and I received a nice appraisal of the third one. Because on the second one, I... got a reputation for listening to Stalin audiobooks, which
it's true, you did.
Like an endorsement of Stalin. It was a book that was critical of the mass murdering maniac, but this time, no Stalin audiobooks. I was there on stream, giving it my all, splashing children with water at Legoland. I was in good form. And
I would say it was significantly better than the second one.
But then the cyclothon was just nicer this time in general. I wasn't destroyed. The shorter distances helped. Yeah, I honestly couldn't have gone better than it did, you know.
Shorter distances. Yeah, right. Sure, I remember that, except for the days I joined, which was the extra long distances. But no, I think like the best part of this one in particular, other than, of course, we raised a bunch of money and we had a lot of fun, I would say having you, Connor, Ian, Paul, all of us be present, and you had a couple of guests like Natsuki, Felix
PewDiePie, and Garn.
So, like, I think everybody was able to kind of share the load a bit better. And that made it, I think, just a lot more interesting for all of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And no, it kept it refreshing and kept it fun. But yeah, April, good month all in all. After that, I was kind of like, I was kind of sad when it ended, actually. And then I got food poisoning. And the month was like, the first half of the month was brilliant. You know, the Abroad in Japan book doing really well, best-selling book in the UK. The cyclothon, incredible stuff. And then I ate some cheese.
Yeah,
and
then that'll get you.
went downhill for a week.
So best-selling book in April?
I don't want to go on about the book again.
I think I have a button for that, though.
What's this? Wow.
Technology. We're cheering you on.
We're clapping.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody can even hear it, but I have a nice button that claps for you. So
It's been really weird, actually. I had to, you won't know her, but one of Britain's biggest comedians and sort of TV, like an actress in the UK, Dawn French. She has she's in like a sitcom, Vicar of Dibley, and really big actress in the UK. She released a book called The Twat Files. and she posted it on her Instagram story, and she had her book. It was like number two. And then above it, she had Abroad in Japan. And lots of people were messaging me sort of going, oh, I saw your book on Dawn French's Instagram. So I messaged Dawn French and I was like, oh, awesome, thanks for weirdly but not shouting me out.
So wait, it wasn't like
a list. Was sort of saying, it was like a list of the best-selling books. And
so you messaged her to rub it in her face that you were number one and she got second.
Oh, look at me.
Second place,
Dawn. That's a very Connor move. I would never do such a thing.
Yeah, of course.
No, I just sort of said thank you for weirdly shouting me out in your story and well done with the book. And
then did she reply?
Yeah, we had a little chat. And I was like, if you ever come to Japan, hit me up. And she was like, oh, yeah, sure. Cool, that'd be fun. And so it was quite weird just talking to this awesome actress I've seen on TV.
That's the next guest on the Abroad in Japan podcast.
Dawn French.
Dawn French.
Bring her on.
Live in the Premiere 2 studio.
Indeed.
Don't think she'll come out here.
No.
But that's pretty cool. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to the Cyclothon. But catching up, it has one thing we did in between the Cyclothon and your food poisoning. Happy belated birthday.
Yeah, I was really gutted, actually. I was going to do like a little birthday stream. Like riding high after the cycle, I was going to do a stream talking about the cycle, saying hello to everyone, and then I was sick, and then I couldn't do anything. So,
well, this is the next best thing. Look at this; it's half your equipment anyway.
Yeah, it's good to see if you have rubbish equipment you don't want, give it to Pete, and he'll make the most of it.
I will indeed. Actually, you know, not a lot of people watch my stuff, but the ones who do always say like, "Wow, this has insane production value for what the stream is." I said, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And it's because I have like your awesome cameras. I have some really good audio equipment. And the only thing that really screws it all up is the guy in front of it. But it's fun.
It's the best bit
to have you here.
Do you know, it's the 3-year anniversary this month of our Hokkaido epic wonder trip to Wakanai.
Oh my God.
To get a broken mug.
Which re-broke. Did I tell you that?
You fucking what?
My wife broke it, so I have the mug.
So we traveled 1,000 kilometers to get a mug that was a replacement mug for a broken mug. You bought the mug, and then you broke it again.
Well, she broke it.
Brilliant.
And she almost threw it away. I was out of town on the cyclothon, and she said, I'm throwing out the cup. And I was like, don't throw it out. So I've kept it. It's over there, but the handle is chipped and about to fall off. So I'll show it to you here in a minute.
Oh, God.
I'll let you see it right now.
Oh, man, that mug. We traveled to the end of the earth for that mug.
The
God damn it, Pete.
The earth.
God damn it.
I don't even think it's broken. She made a big...
Let's have a look.
She made a big deal about it.
It's on the cusp of being broken. The handle looks like it's going to come off.
Yeah, so, but it's a treasure. I'll never throw it away.
It's a bit dirty, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's been sitting in the cupboard for now.
What have you been putting in that mug?
Don't touch my mug.
It's awful. Off we go on our next adventure to get another cup.
Yeah.
But no, I can't believe it's been 3 years and what an epic adventure that was. I've always wanted to do something like that again, but there's just nowhere quite as epic, quite as otherworldly as, you know, Wakanai.
No, and I think, you know, for that being our first real video together, we had taken a small trip to your ancestral homeland where you first started in
Yamagata.
And that was kind of like a trial of, you know, we had to drive for like 8 hours or so. So there was a lot of banter. You got violently ill on that trip as well.
I got food poisoning there. I don't get food poisoning. I don't get it off that often.
It sounds like you do.
Connor gets food poisoning a lot. Every time I see him, he's like, I've just had food poisoning from sausages.
What are you guys eating that makes you
sausages?
So
he's eating sausages.
And it's a cheese board or two?
So I went to Matsumoto. Lovely, beautiful place in the mountains of Nagano. It's got the iconic castle, the dark castle. And we went to like a French restaurant. It was very good, actually. And I was like, I'll get the cheese at the end. And I ordered some camembert and some blue cheese. And normally when you order a cheese board in Japan, it's like a fragment. You need a fucking telescope to see it. And this time it was a block of blue cheese, really bountiful and big. And I was like, oh, crap, I can't eat that much blue cheese. Nobody can eat that much blue cheese. Horrible. It's like, it's nice to have it in small amounts as a sort of punctuation to the end of the cheese board. This was like all the cheese. And I don't even know if it was blue cheese. I think it was, white cheese that was moldy. But I ate it all begrudgingly, and I had to like swish it down with wine to get it down. Because in Japan, like leaving food, you know, it's like a bit of a sin. And I was like, well, I can't leave this blue cheese. And well, I ate it all. The next morning, woke up, felt like I was going to die. And then I had to sit on this train for 4 hours, like rocking back and forth, trying not to be sick. And I was sick on the train.
I feel relatively good health. I have not had food poisoning in ages. I feel it's quite nice. I think it's the staying away from the cheese boards.
Well, I brought you a gift.
Thank you.
You can hear it. There are some ASMR for listening. I'm holding two green coffee packs of coffee.
So the guy who routinely gets himself sick off food, you're getting it. Well,
it's not sausages, is it? This is.
No, this looks good.
This is so good, right? This is vanilla macadamia flavored coffee from Coffee Farm.
It's from Caldi.
It's hand drip coffee, so you sort of put it in the top of the cup, pour through, and it just has the most incredible smell. This vanilla macadamia nuts. I was on a shoot with Connor and Paul last year on an island here called Oshima. We were staying at this hotel that wasn't that good, but the the room was pretty rough. But the coffee in the morning, they brought out the coffee every morning, and we smelt it, and it was like, this is a dream. What is this? And they were like, vanilla macadamia. And vanilla, I was like, macadamia. Find me that macadamia vanilla coffee. And we did. It's down the shop, and I've got you two.
Thank you so much.
Actually, one of them's for me.
But I have. Thank you for the one.
Do you want to smell it?
No, I'm going to wait. It's like a Christmas present.
All right, well,
I'll
open this one.
I'll smell it.
Get ready.
Yep.
Oh.
That's quite nice.
Exactly.
It
right?
smells like a Christmas delicacy.
It's like a trip to Hawaii in a bag.
Ah. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, that's good.
I appreciate this gift. I'm sure that I will enjoy it later today.
Absolutely.
But you've been gallivanting around Japan, whether you're going to islands and yokans and enjoying the sights and sounds. On the Japan front, what's next after all these cool things that you've accomplished in April?
I'm at an annoying point where I've got about two or three really big things in the pipeline, but I can't talk about them yet. For another few weeks, anyway. One of them is actually a documentary I'm working on, which I'm really excited about doing. Something I've wanted to do for a long time. Mm. I'm bringing in like a production company to help me do
wow.
it.
Wow. Okay.
And take it quite seriously. So there's that and another project that you know about actually. But I can't talk about it for another few weeks.
Yeah, it's all under wraps.
Until Pete gets
exciting.
Drunk and blurts it all out.
I would that's possible.
Like he does.
I would only blurt it out to, you know, the patrons at some unfortunate izakaya. That's
fantastic.
While you've been enjoying the sights and sounds of like rural Japan and going places, I kind of tend to experience Japan a little bit differently than you. I like to go to the
pub in Nakano.
All of the different kind of izakayas or pubs. I love talking to like Japanese people directly while having a few.
You make it sound like I don't like to do that.
You do like that, but I mean, I really like to do that.
You do like to do that, and you're in your element. I watched one of your streams the other day where you did like a live IRL stream in a bar or pub, and the camera's in the corner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quite far away from you. You're at the bar.
Yeah.
And you just start talking to everyone, and there's like 10 people in this bar.
Yeah.
Looking at you, engaging, and and it's quite a. It's really nice. It's really nice to see it.
I think it's like I put the camera in the corner to. I like to take these streams out there so that people can be like my really, really, really quiet friend who just observes, and then they can kind of get a sense, hopefully, of what aspects of Japanese like izakaya culture I enjoy. There was one tragic thing after that. I'd left that bar and I was going to go to, because the objective was to find three or four different places in Koenji Station.
Okay.
I'd never really been there. So I saw these four foreigners coming out of a bar, the basement. And I said, hey, what was going on down there? And they were like, mate, it was amazing. It was this jazz club and they just finished their set and they just talked and enjoyed our company for like 2 hours. Really great vibe.
Oh, cool.
Really awesome. And I was like, fantastic. I go down there and I always tell them, hey, I'm sorry, I have a camera on. As soon as I said that, he, on camera, he was like, can I curse on this thing?
Yeah.
I'll say the F.
It's not a C word.
It's not. But he said, F you, F out of here.
Whoa.
And then he specifically kept saying, F YouTube, F YouTube.
Whoa.
And I was like, it's Twitch. But, I think he meant
And
I didn't really take it personally, but it does remind me, you know, as you've probably covered on this podcast, there has been some things with like sushi terrorism where the kids would lick sushi on a conveyor belt. They stopped having that. There's lots of like Instagram and TikTok trends that were a couple years ago where people were messing around with like kids really messing around with food. And then of course we've had some incidents with the streaming world where some guys have spoiled it.
Yeah, no, of course. It's been a bumpy year or so. And it's a shame. I always wondered how all these bad activities these twats are doing, how it actually have a domino effect and impact. And it's thinking, there you go. I mean, that is it, right?
Because the previous, you know, guests were having a fantastic, couldn't say anything bad about the place.
But they weren't filming.
Yeah. And you know what? Like I said, I get it. And
I know in Japan, they're very sensitive around filming musicians performing and stuff.
Well, it was done, but yeah. I think the idea is that once you get the, you know, you ask permission and if they're engaging, then everyone's going to have a great time. But you don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable.
I mean, I think, yeah. And I think if I was running like a restaurant, I'd probably be like, don't stream in my restaurant. There's other customers. So it's a tough thing to straddle the line.
Yep. But that's why finding those places that do allow it. And
I think it's nice. I mean, IRL streamers get a lot of heat. But yeah, I think you do it really tastefully.
I think as tastefully as someone like me can do it, like getting drunk in a pub.
You're introducing bits of Japan.
Yeah.
Pubs.
Yeah. And I think
we did an IRL stream. We went to an exotic beach in Matsushima. Remember that? So Pete came to Sendai.
It was a year ago.
Literally just over a year ago. Yeah. And we had two options. One was like find the hidden island.
Yep.
Which I think I said like, I know a hidden island. I sort of lied and made it up. And then had to then go and find this imaginary island I'd made up.
Thanks,
which
great.
We then found. And it was a real island, and it was quite fun. We went to this this beach that was extremely isolated on the Pacific coast, about an hour and a half from Sendai. And we hiked over like a cliff, and we found a little beach, and it was really fun. And then we went back there to do camping, very near to that beach.
Oh, that's...
We were on the next island over, where Natsuki and Connor nearly died. And
the only sad thing was on that stream, I remember you did find this, it really was quite beautiful, but because it was so remote, I would say 90% of the live stream was offline because, and then like, but for one magical moment, like if you stood right on the beach overlooking this amazing coast.
I enjoyed
coast,
that.
But
I really
it, like the cameras came on for that one moment.
Yeah.
And people could see what we saw.
I mean.
It was great.
That's what IRL streaming should be about, I think.
Hiking?
Hiking to abandoned islands. But, you know, I wonder, I saw just an article going back to, like, troublemakers in Japan, like yourself, a full-on troublemaker. I heard what you did at Starbucks today to that poor girl.
Oh, gosh, I can't believe that. Can I?
Pete told me a story about how he destroyed a poor girl's blouse and shoes.
Just her shoes. But so,
that's
like,
right, then.
It was just her shoes and socks. And, but, like... they had this new drink at Starbucks, and I rarely go there anyway, but I wanted to try. It was called an oleato.
Mm.
It's like an olive oil coffee.
Jesus.
And
sounds like a bullet coffee.
I'm not a coffee sommelier.
Well, I've got you the vanilla macadamia
exactly.
Coffee,
why would I even go back to this?
You didn't go anywhere again.
I was waiting for a friend, and they opened this brand, you know, Kabukicho, which is a part of Shinjuku, used to be one of the most degenerate places in Japan. You know, it was...
But
it's been...
Still is, but it just looks a bit nicer.
I would say it's significantly better than it was even 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's
10 years ago was...
You feel a lot safer walking around Kabukicho now.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, like, kind of oshare or fashionable places.
I remember I once booked the hotel. I think it was on with the Godzilla Inn. I once booked there a few years ago when they just finished it. And I was going to stay there with a friend, and then somebody got shot.
Somebody got shot?
There was a Yakuza shooting, literally just outside. And I was like, I'll cancel that reservation and let's not speak of Kabukicho ever again.
Well, but we are speaking of it now. So I was in the new Kabukicho Tower.
Yeah.
Which is...
I filmed there with Natsuki recently.
It's a very nice building. It's very cool inside. Mm. It's kind of like they took the inspiration from your bar and then, like, you know, they...
Blew it up to
your,
a massive
scale. Your ramen studio. And then they were like, well, we could do this whole thing as an izakaya. So in there, they have this Starbucks, and it's one of the only ones that has this oleato.
Mm.
So I pay my, whatever, $8 for it.
Jesus.
And I'm sitting there, and I had this really annoying, it had a lid on and everything, and it was the cup, and all the ice had kind of I couldn't get any of the liquor. So I did the thing where you shake it left to right just to loosen the ice, and a geyser of coffee exploded out. Like, it looked like I had taken the top off and flung it in her face. And it somehow, this coffee waterfall landed on her Pumas and her new shoes. Jesus. And of course, her shoes had like, they must have been bought like 2 hours before this. And it had like the detail on it was like this cloth.
Oh,
this suede.
My God.
Ruined them all. And so I had to give them, I said, how much did those shoes cost? And she said, like, ichiman gurai.
$100.
$100. So I was mortified that I just spilled this on the last day of Golden Week.
How did she act? Was she angry? Was she sort of smiling, joking, finding it funny?
Well, so when I flung it in her face.
When the inciting incident occurred.
Her eyes got like three times bigger but she didn't say anything. She just like looked back like I dropped some sort of uranium on the floor and it was spreading and it's like this toxic spill.
I mean, that would have caused less damage to her sheets.
Yeah, I know.
Oily fucking coffee.
It was so bad. And so she... I know, of course, it's olive oil coffee. And then her friend like panicked, and I was like, I'm so sorry, what have I done? Excuse me. And then she finally, I said, take this money. And she was like, I can't take this money. And I was like, I need to leave because I still have like my full coffee and I just threw it away. And I was like, I had to get out of there. And I was like, take it, go to an izakaya, have some fun, get dinner. I'm really sorry I spoiled your brand new shoes. And then she was like, Atarashine, it's brand new. And I was like, okay, I know. Yeah, she was like, they're brand new. So yeah, that was that one felt really bad. But
Jesus.
Yeah. That's
foreign troublemaker.
I'm trying to bring Kabukicho back to the mud.
It's gonna be a news story, isn't it? It's gonna be all over Sora news.
Yeah.
Foreign American man destroys Japanese woman's shoes.
No.
Outside of the times.
It's pretty embarrassing. But like, you know, other than that, I think Kabukicho, Shinjuku in general, it's a lot better than it used to be.
Did you hear about how the there's a Lawson near Mount Fuji,
right,
where everyone takes photos, and they're going to put up a wall so people can't get the shot anymore tourists from taking this. I don't think the shot looks that good. It's just a Lawson with Mount Fuji on top of it.
Yeah,
and they're like, it's like Mount Fuji's floating in the air.
Yeah,
it's like, is it? It just looks like Mount Fuji behind a Lawson. Anyway, dickheads go to take the same fucking photo. I'm sort of sick of people just taking the same three photos of Japan's landmarks and. Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate they have to build a wall. There must be a better way. There must be just I don't know. But apparently people going there, taking the photo.
They're not buying
congesting
anything.
Congesting the road, littering. Well, they would have
entire buses of tourists be taken there just for the picture. It was like a service.
I've been covering this topic a fair bit on YouTube. I did a video about foreign tourists versus Japan recently. And I talked about how foreign tourists doing shitty things in Gion, the geisha district, has led them to sort of ban tourists from that district and sort of walking around it.
How would they enforce
this? Not a Dickens. Oh. I think they're basically going to have signs being like, only paying customers this way kind of thing.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
And I kind of agree in principle and whatnot. It does sometimes feel like Japan wants to have their cake and eat it. They're like, we want all the tourists... And then it's like, but wait a minute, all of Kyoto is rubbish now and you can't move. Yeah, well, like they got to think things through a bit more. But I don't know, I'm a bit wary of me coming into this narrative, calling out foreigners doing bad things, because it is a thing the Japanese media loves to dive onto. Mm. The moment like a foreign person in Japan does one thing wrong, it's like, foreigners bad, raw, and they really go for
it. It is unfortunate.
And I don't want to be the same. Because foreign travelers do bad stuff in London all the time. Mm. We don't give a shit.
I'm sure there has been an incident or two of even a Japanese person making a mistake in America.
Yeah, of course there's. So. Natsuki probably fucking littering with his cigarettes. Yeah. That should be a news story in the Daily Mail. Japanese tourists coming over getting Marlboro Red all over the road. I just think...
It's a slippery slope because
there's
a lot
of wariness about having so many tourists there.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And I think Japan, you know, in general, I'm generalizing, but they kind of have this expectation that, oh, we do it this way. Surely other tourists will too. But we don't have the same knowledge or values. Or all things can be different.
I mean, in America, you can tip your Starbucks all over the person next to you. Just, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Then what are they going to do, shoot me?
Yeah, I mean, when Pete, you know, threw his coffee fountain all over the poor lady in her shoes, he was like, well, this is what we do in Kansas all the time.
Yeah, it's a way of greeting.
We got to do it, bro.
Oh, my God. I felt so bad about that poor girl. She looked mortified.
If it makes you feel any better, I once tipped some bright green mint sauce all over a bride's dress at a wedding.
Exactly. Did you give them $100?
I did not, but I did have to sort of pull her out of the room and throw. I didn't know what to do, and my boss was so angry at me. He was like, you deal with it, Chris. Fuck you. And I was like, brilliant, thank you. I was like 18 or 19 at the time. And I had to get a bottle of Evian water. Huh. And I just sort of went, just doused all over it like I was like a,
on her wedding dress?
Like a villain throwing petrol over someone before they set them on
and
fire.
And so began your water hostage, like you when you're shooting kids water, with water, guns.
Evian water gate.
It was the first gun of many.
Wedding gate.
But like,
yeah, we've all screwed up one time or another. But
me more than most, but yes, I did enjoy, but yeah, it's interesting going to that little bar.
But I think we should go to Lawson at the base of Mount Fuji and get the shot before the wall goes up.
You're the problem. You just said you hated this.
I've got to go there now.
You just said these. I'm so tired of everyone taking the same three photos.
I think we've
before me.
Boy, we've got to get the shot before the wall gets up, haven't we?
I think it's gonna be a cooler shot with the wall. Like,
I think that'd be so funny going all the way there and getting like a shot of a fucking concrete wall.
There you go.
But again, I don't know how they're gonna build a wall there. I don't know how they're going to do it. I just wonder what's going to happen this time next year. I mean, I did it when I did my video, Foreign Tourists versus Japan. There was a couple of stories I left out. My favorite one I left out, and I might go and put in another video if I cover a topic like this again, is there was a farm in Hokkaido near Furuno, where we went to, near beautiful rolling fields of Furuno.
Yep.
And there was a farm with a nice hill, and upon that hill, there was a tree, and it looked like a nice tree.
Mm.
They called it the philosophy tree.
Okay.
Because it was this lone tree standing in the field, in the wilderness. And people traveled far and wide to get the photo of the philosophy tree. And the farmer got angry because people were coming onto nearby land, getting the shot of the tree for Instagram or their reels or whatever.
He didn't chop it
down.
So
he chopped the
tree. Oh my God, he chopped it down?
It was like, no more philosophy tree for anyone. Gone.
Wow.
I scripted it and I filmed it and I was like, it's a bit too abstract to put into the story of all these other, but I want to talk about it in a video.
Well, now you've got to hear it right here on the podcast.
That's right. That's what the podcast is all about. Talking about trees getting chopped down.
That's by crazy to angry even think farmers. About, yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame that he was like, oh, four people have come onto this field. Fuck it. No trees for anyone. Burn the forest down.
Yeah, I mean,
people are enjoying the forest. Chop it all down. Make a fucking tree. Make a desk out of it.
I
wonder what happened to the wood from the philosophy tree.
Maybe I should go up there and make a documentary. An ancient scroll that they used.
It's the sort of thing you would do on Cool Japan.
There's
a tree in Japan that nobody else has. Only Japan has the philosophy tree.
We didn't talk like that. We had to do a little bit
more.
It'll
be a little bit more like scary. There is a tree in Japan where the foreign tourists go to see.
You've never seen Cool Japan, so there you have it.
I've seen enough. But I want to go into a documentary and have the man contemplating, should he have chopped the tree down? Should he have left it?
Well, let this be a good guide to all of you guys that things are fleeting. But most importantly,
things are fleeting. Like a splash of coffee in the wind.
Yeah, it's just try to remember those moments when they happen. But like the thing that it is like instead of going to the place that's on Instagram that you see or you hear about, what everyone always asks me, and I'm sure they've asked you or anybody who's lived in Japan, well, I'm coming to Japan soon. What should I do? Where should I go? What should I eat? I think actually the best part and everybody's most memorable experience is the unplanned parts where you just try things and then you end up having this really unique experience. It happens all the time in Japan. So I keep, you know, I would recommend instead of going to the Lawson Fuji photo spot, find a different Lawson that you think is its own brand of beauty.
There's a cracking good 7-Eleven down the road. You get the shot of Fuji with the 7-Eleven.
See? There you go.
And then they'll need a wall.
Yeah. They're going to build another wall.
In this time in 10 years, there will be a wall 1,000 meters in height around Mount Fuji, sealing off the mountain from all views and perspectives.
They're going to chop
it down.
What
a load of bollocks. I will. The one thing I agree with that should be banned and that is annoying is the Mario Kart go-karts in Tokyo. Every time I see them, I scream and die inside. And they even photobombed one of my latest videos. I'm in Shibuya, I'm standing on this overpass overlooking the Shibuya skyline, and I'm like, Shibuya, a hive of scum and villainy, as you would say. And then you hear, and below me there's like six go-karts going through the shot. It's the opening of a video called How Expensive is Japan Really? Or something like that.
So is there any equivalent in London that I got robbed? Is that the equivalent, I guess? But like, is there anything there where it's not even, because the go-kart, no Japanese people generally do it.
It's just sad. It's
mostly
like
foreigners.
Japan is.
Or tourists.
Well, Japan is such a culturally rich, wonderful place to visit. It's really hard to get bored traveling Japan. Don't do the Mario Kart thing. It's just a bit cheap. But beyond that, the reason I don't like it is I genuinely think it's dangerous. I see people driving them who look jet-lagged and fucked up and look like they shouldn't be driving them. Going around Shibuya, famously they crashed as well, as I've talked about a million times on the podcast. They crashed into my favorite fish and chip shop, Malin's. But like beyond that, someone's going to get really badly injured, I think.
Yeah,
you don't come to Japan jet-lagged. And then get in a go-kart, drive around the world's biggest city for the first time. It just seems like a recipe for disaster.
Have you done it?
No, let's go. Let's do it.
Maybe we should judge it after we experience.
Let's do it before it's banned.
Before it's banned, we got to get on the go-karts. I feel like maybe we're not giving it. Maybe seeing it from that perspective of the street as we're zooming around.
I just think, get a bike.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that people want to see Tokyo, you know, and have fun going around it. I remember when I traveled to Beijing, I got a little e-bike and I cycled around. I got to see the city in a day and I get that thrill. But just get a fucking bicycle.
That also does work.
But like people you see people on the sidewalk getting pissed when these go-karts come by.
Yeah,
because they're really loud.
They're very, very.
And there's like a small, it's like an army. You have like six or eight of them coming down the road. And people are trying to get around and you've got to watch out for the crazy foreigner with a glint in their eye, jet lags, fucked up from a 15-hour flight.
Maybe we're just rocketing old, around Chris. Shibuya. Maybe we used to, in our younger days, maybe we, now we're sitting in here complaining about philosophy trees and olietos.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
We're just getting older.
Grumpy club.
We're the grumpy club.
I don't know. I just think there's so many better ways to enjoy Tokyo, and the bike is a good way to do it.
Yeah, certainly I would agree with that.
Or
but
go to Kamakura, rent an e-bike. It's an amazing place to cycle around. That's better. And you won't piss off the locals in the process. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be like Mr. Killjoy, fun's over kids, fuck off man. But
hey, well, that's what the guy said to me as I tried to enter his bar as I was live streaming my thrill ride.
I don't envy your. I mean, I don't know how you do it. IRL streaming. I went to film a video the other day vlogging by myself in the street, and I just found it really tough.
Mm.
It is hard to film yourself and do those sort of things. So to do an IRL stream alone, like you do, it takes balls to do that.
Well, yeah. I think it's flagrantly like self-indulgent. it's like, you know, it's really uncomfortable for me, and it sounds ridiculous because I like streaming.
Not as uncomfortable as the poor Japanese girl just
enjoying her coffee. I know. But like, anytime you have a camera pointed at your own face and you're in a public setting, and it seems like you have like a total disregard for everyone around you because it's about this. That's not what it is, but like, getting past that mental hurdle is actually the hardest part for me wanting to do an IRL stream because, like,
Do you find it significantly easier when you're with someone?
I do,
and yet he never invites me.
You guys, listeners, maybe you can relate. It's like, imagine you really want this guest or this person to have a great time. You want to make sure it's worth it. And then when Chris invites me, he gives no thoughts about whether I'm going to have a good time or not.
I take you to a hidden beach.
A hidden beach where he nearly pushed me to the ocean.
You're doing the same three bars in Koenji. Well, we could be off looking for fucking mountain goats. And
buried treasure.
Getting shots of Lawson.
But I hesitate to invite people because I don't want them to have a bad experience. And I usually try to test out the areas first. But yeah, it's something I'm trying to get better at, but I do find it unsettling. But that's why you got to ask, you got to be thoughtful, and you try to block when you're recording.
Have you seen more signs from shops saying no streaming, no video?
Yeah, and in fact, after I got kicked out, I got refused entry to that one. I went to my favorite chain of Torikizoku.
I went to Torikizoku last week to share a friend, Yakitori.
Could have done a better place.
Yeah, I know. I in a video recently, I was going to recommend it, and then I went there, ate, and I was like, I don't know, it's not.
I think it
gets the job done.
It does.
But yeah, Torikizoku, it's kind of like a yakitori chain you can find pretty much anywhere. There's like six of them in Shibuya alone.
Yeah, across the street from each
other. Yeah, but the chicken is kind of dry and a bit rubbish, and when you've had good yakitori, it's hard to go back to it.
But they have great drinks. Like, they have some really...
they do, yeah.
And it's very cheap, and I think it's, like, one of the few places where you could rock up with six people or four people.
Not so sure about the 100 yen wine.
I would not recommend that.
Got it from my friend. He fled the country after drinking it.
But about Torikizoku, which translates to chicken aristocracy, which I think is quite nice.
Does it actually?
Yeah, that's what the kanji means.
Kizoku.
Yeah.
Means aristocracy.
Yeah.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. But anyway, while you're checking that, I'll finish this pointless tale. As I was talking to myself and the camera's facing, I mean, I'm doing right now, I'm eating, I'm doing this thing. This guy came up to me and he said, excuse me, I don't know, live streaming.
Oh no.
So even at Torikizoku, they denied me my self-indulgence of talking to a camera in public.
Oh.
Yeah. So maybe more and more places are cracking down.
Okay, here we go. Torikizoku is a popular izakaya chain known for its menu, based on chicken. Tori means chicken. Kizoku, which translates to nobility or aristocracy. This reflects the chain's concept of offering chicken dishes at a high standard, yet at a very affordable price, often featuring all items at a uniform price.
Chicken aristocracy.
It's always incredibly busy. It's good value for money.
They're open till 4 or 5 a.m. as well.
And that's why they're busy.
And also, I recommend
it's great, though. Yes, I like going there because there's no streamers when I'm eating my chicken.
Oh, they're not anymore. They're all getting kicked out because of me. But yeah, the deep-fried nankotsu, the cartilage.
I ate that, yeah.
Uh-oh. That's a window security. What have we done? Are there no streaming anymore?
Torikizoku and Windows Virus Defender popped up. Bit worrying.
I think he was worried that you were insulting them. But yeah, maybe. But yeah. IRL streaming, bringing a camera around.
With the cycle, Connor doing the IRL stream for 2 weeks nonstop, we actually didn't have a single problem with anywhere we did it. Nobody said, don't do it here, please go away, I hate you.
Well, that one I feel uncomfortable a bit because, you know, when I do that, when I helped with, if you guys didn't know, I joined briefly at the end to...
briefly? The whole
week.
It
was 2 weeks they were cycling. But my job, my duty is to help raise as much money as possible.
You did a great job.
And we all came together and we raised over $1 million. But I often, at my age, I am tasked with doing or things that I would not normally say or do. Most notably, at the base of Tokyo Tower, I screamed sex at the top of my lung.
That was so funny.
That was so bad. And so, like,
there we were at the base of TKA's most iconic landmark.
Yep.
And Pete went, and I, as you'll see in the upcoming video.
And I had no idea that these were a meme that's famous.
Children had gathered from around the country for this moment. And there, like, they stood as Pete shouted,
Well, there was two problems. One, I have a loud enough voice as is, but they hooked me up to a Marshall mega speaker. So that was probably heard throughout all of the different coups of Tokyo.
All the things you could have shouted in your moment of... I mean, you stole the show, to be fair. And you can see it, guys, if you haven't seen it. Connor did release the video of the finale of us going up to Tokyo Tower, which
is pretty amazing.
Very surreal moment. I remember it was kind of creepy because we're going up the hill on our bikes, carrying them up, and all of a sudden you hear screaming and shouting from, 100 yards up the road.
And, it was really, really crazy.
There's a fun moment where I'm going up the hill and there's two Westerners climbing up the hill alongside us and they're screaming. And I turn to them on the stream like, do you know what's going on up there? It sounds awfully loud. And they're like, no, I don't know. And then we got up there and everyone was waiting. And it's really trippy to go from 2 weeks cycling alone in a field in pain through forests and mountains. And then you are on a little podium standing in front of, 200-300 people at the base of Tokyo Tower. Very surreal, out of body esque moment.
It was,
and then you sprayed us in champagne.
I did, and then
sweat, toil, tears, and fucking champagne.
It was great, and I had also cycled with you guys that day, so getting on the bike was fun, and learning that it sucks to do 20 kilometers before breaks.
But yeah, I mean, the more I think about it, the more I realize you're part of the problem. All these foreign people doing bad things in Japan.
That's what I'm trying
to
say.
Shouting sex.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
Coming for a nice day out to Tokyo Tower.
And then you get ruined by me. Spilling coffee and screaming vulgar words. But that's the thing is that, I had to put myself in a different mindset when doing those things. Because I'm screaming out of a van saying, we raised $500,000. I'm doing these silly characters.
I mean,
jokes.
You're good because I can't do that. I'm like, we raised some money. I don't have the energy. Obviously, I was very happy when we hit a million and all the other milestones, the hundreds of thousands. But I don't have the ability to be like, whoa, dude, we raised $100,000.
Well, you do. We all wear different hats,
I don't,
Mr.
Broad. Like, jolly good old chaps. Battle up
firm
the hatches.
Handshake.
Well, I don't know if it's a British thing or a me thing. Connor's better at doing it.
My point is that even I have to make the choice mentally to
even when I was on a phone call, a year ago when the book sold out, was a bestseller, and I was like talking to the people at Penguin, they're like, where's your book's a bestseller? And I was like, oh, that's good, isn't it? And you could see them like, are you more excited? I was like, that's all right. I'm not easily impressed or wowed unless it's bacon wrapped in camembert.
Or camembert wrapped in bacon. It's a key to a man's
then
heart.
You might get the praise and excitement that people sorely crave. But I'm really excited though to do some more projects together this year. We're actually about to do a stream tonight here, guys, on Premiere 2. You won't be able to catch it because the podcast is coming out after it. But Pete, you're going to release it on YouTube.
I hope so.
And it's a episode I've really looked forward to doing where we're going to go through two or three videos, including the Hokkaido one.
Yep.
Our walk across Tokyo. And the time you got chained up and dragged around.
I got some thoughts about that one.
and dragged around Ginzan Hot Spring earlier this year.
Yeah,
as well.
I got a lot of thoughts.
Oh, fun times.
Actually, it was last year, the end of last year.
It was the end of last year. It came out a few weeks later.
Yeah, but, it came out a few weeks later.
We've done some great stuff together. But nothing,
we've also done that.
Nothing more fun than the Hokkaido trip in my mind.
The cyclothons, even though it wasn't a video like that was.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Those were fun. I would say, but yeah, the Hokkaido trip was obviously for me personally, it was so much fun to be in front of like a camera with like somebody doing a story again. I hadn't done that in years.
Problem with Pete though is I gave him a camera. There was a fox running through the snow. It was like a Hayao Miyazaki-esque wonder scene. This bright orange fox against the snowy backdrop. And I was like, Pete, get the shot. I was like, no problem. And he hit record. He was like, the screen's black. I can't see anything. And he had the lens cap on.
Well, I fumbled it like Fredo trying to get the gun when his father's getting shot in The Godfather. I was like, I don't know how to hold it. And I finally got, and then I just end up on the ground crying and you get it yourself. Because
I had to stop the
car. It was very frustrating to be, I didn't know what to do.
Well, it's such a good time. It was this very good time.
Camera, perhaps.
Yeah, it probably was. But so we'll be talking about that. But I hope we could do more stuff like that this year and have some more wacky adventures. cameras in some,
I'm sure we will,
interesting locations. I've been spending some time recently trying to find spots that I've never explored or places I've never gone, and I have found quite a few. So get your broken mugs ready.
All right.
Batten down the hatches and let's go and do some more stuff.
As long as it's not in the freezing cold. You go with all your other friends to these beautiful dunes and Okinawan islands.
Tropical islands.
And I get chained to you in an ice storm.
It is interesting. It's always like whenever I'm with you, there's a lot of snow and cold and blizzards.
And carry this heavy bag of equipment as we walk for 50 kilometers.
You had fun. You
I did
it.
Have
you
fun. But it's astonishing how many cold weather places we've been.
You'd had your kidneys taken out.
My appendix.
You need some exercise.
I actually do. Put on a few lbs. It's time to get healthy.
Oh man!
I'll be joining you for some fun, healthy adventures. We're going to continue cycling and working out. So I'm excited.
And Pete's doing the Spartan race in June. We're not filming it, although I don't know if you or Connor's going to stream it or whatever.
We're going to stream my greatest failure.
Feet face down in some
my
dishes.
God!
But I'm looking forward to that. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
Spartan the fitness will and continue. Me, not really a combination.
You'll
I would
fine.
Expect.
You'll be fine.
It'll be great.
But thanks as always, Pete.
It is my pleasure.
And we'll be seeing Pete very soon again. And the video we just mentioned doing the live stream will be out on Pete's Premier 2 YouTube channel
someday.
Soon.
So now here's the big question. Did I actually record this right? Did we actually? We're about to find out.
If you didn't record this, I'm going to kill you.
Well, I'm sure
I'll
it'll be great.
Drown you in a sea of Starbucks.
I'm a little concerned.
Oily coffee. But for now, have yourself a great few days, guys. We'll see you right back here to do it again. I fucked up my line there. To do it again on the Abroad Japan podcast with Pete Dolson, who has been on a holiday. Mm-hmm. I haven't killed him. He's around. He's been not been on the podcast like 3 episodes.
Oh, really?
He's been taking a long deserved, much needed holiday. So he'll be back in the week. But for now, have yourselves a good one, guys. I'll see you then.
Goodbye.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.